Blizzard.
Yep. 11:45, and then
okay.
Kind Lady. And then Tammy's 11:45 to 12 with an update.
All right.
Are we back on?
Yes.
I got the total figure for... oh, you got to call us to order.
Call us back to order.
For Mincy Park. Mincy Park total fees, Nikki got back to me, which was $1,409.29. So I move that we pay the invoice. Hold on here. They are requesting to use the 1,500, which was left over on Mincy Park for cattle panels. So it's two things. $1,400 for a pro tem is what the pro tem was.
Yeah, but you get it, the parks right.
Pro tem was $1,409. They're asking $1,500 for Mincy.
Yeah.
Now, what did we do earlier?
We approved Mincy, and then we didn't approve pro tem because we didn't know what the number was.
But we only said $500 for Mincy, didn't we?
No, the $500 for the vandalism and $1,000 for the...
Did we put anything extra? No, we didn't.
Okay.
So let me fix the motion here.
Alrighty.
I move that we allocate $1,409.29 for the Pro Tem Pavilion Park and an additional $1,000 for the Mincy Park for the use for cattle panels.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
So that takes care of that item.
Can you email Frank? You want
yep.
to call him? Or? Yep. They might be listening over there. I don't know. Do they listen? Anybody know?
I don't know. I mean, we got on some line there. Four. You might be able to tell. I think most of the county offices are what
they're trying to get a hold of them right now. Do you want to take a break, or what are we going to do?
Yeah, I mean, just need a couple of minutes.
Oh, they already contacted Frank, so he's en route.
Okay.
Are you guys getting all the emails, or am I just getting caught up?
Yeah, there's a ton. You guys can stay in session. Use the restroom. Excuse me. Pardon me.
We'll idle here. Anybody listening for a couple of minutes while Frank's coming over?
contact, get in touch with you on the park attendant signs. Apparently the park board meeting that I missed, I've only missed one I think that I know of here lately, and where he's down there cleaning up stuff and everything. Maybe Frank knows about it.
Good morning. Got us a report this morning, do you?
Oh, just a bit.
Good.
Are we on air?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Raring to go.
I wanted to talk about an upcoming surgery of mine, but I guess I'd rather do that off the air.
Okay. Probably.
The cleanup, Danny, I don't have numbers, and Karen is on vacation this week.
Okay.
But I should still have them for you next week. Each year there's a little bit more. It seems like it's growing a little bit more. This year we did do something different, and we segregated, since we had the manpower on site already, we segregated the metal and loaded a bottom dump while we were there. And so we will actually be able to offset our costs some. I think last year the cost was $7,700 for the cleanup, but with the recycling of the metal, we should be able to knock those costs down a bit. I did make contact this morning with Raintree in regards to the burnt down home and set that up. So my understanding is let them dump the remains of that burnt down home for no cost until it's complete.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did attend a two-day conference last week, the MACTO conference. It was a very good conference. I guess the best attendance ever. 153 attendees. Ivan Schrader gave several good talks in regards to the right-of-way, your rights within the right-of-way, and that was well-received by all. I was walking down the hallway and at the conference center and ran into an old boss of mine from California that I'd worked for many years at the location. I worked 20 years for. Her husband was a guest speaker. He's the president of NACE this year out of Sonoma, California. And so just walking down the hall, seeing her there, I didn't expect to see her there at all. And that was a pleasant surprise. I appreciate all of you coming to the Snow Rodeo last week. As you can tell, that yard's been cleaned up dramatically from what's gone on in the past, and had a lot of positive comments from the employees in regards to the fact that it was a little bit different. We did have almost 2 hours of training that morning. The one gentleman was from the Caterpillar factory, and his full-time job with Caterpillar is safety training. And also, he made available to me a website, which existed all along. I just wasn't aware of it, on Shop Talk, not Shop Talk, on safety meetings. And he gave me 2 years' supply of reference material and subjects for the safety meetings that are required by law to have. So that was a really valuable resource, because we struggled with coming up, you know, do we talk about forklift, do we talk about hazardous waste or confined space, but having 2 years worth of supply is really nice. Got a hold of several of you last week in regards to a fire that was going on out in Cedar Creek. It ended up being to Harlan's estimation, close to 90 or 100 acres. They did have my request on the phone at that point in time, I don't think I got through to you, Mr. Pennell, was the request for a dozer to go out and help with creating fire breaks on site. And to my knowledge, I've not done it. We've not done that since I've been here, and Harlan couldn't remember having done it in the past. They did have some forestry department and one other government agency out there with heavy equipment. My question is, in the future, and I'm typically emergency services like fire, PD, sheriffs have interagency agreements of one type or another, and it's not uncommon for government agencies to have interagency agreement with other local cities, townships, school districts, whoever wants to climb on board. And what it is, it's just something to the effect, in a time of need, that we have the legal right and authority to work with one another. And a lot of times that agency will list the resources that they have, whether it's the number of personnel, the type of equipment, and the hourly rates, and this just what happens is you create this giant pool of resources that's available during times of need, emergencies, and things like that. So I was wondering if any of you know that it currently exists, or is it something that we want to look into for future emergencies, or helping out like we did with the city of Forsyth with working on the path. There have been other requests for paving from schools, and is it something we want to, you want me to research some, or working on a case-by-case scenario?
I think, from intergovernmental, if you're that's what you're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. I would think it's got to be case-by-case, because we helped the, Western Fire to set a tank?
Yes.
It's almost so specific, I think that, I would think there'd have to be a case-by-case basis. Gentlemen, what do you think?
Yeah, I think there's something to do with actually a Homeland Security type meeting that we had that kind of coordinates different agencies and services together for not Homeland Security but emergency cases. Mm-hmm. I think that we have in place, even with Boone County, Arkansas Sheriff's intergovernmental services. So I don't know where we would look for that. I know in a meeting that I went to out at the ambulance district, they talked about that. I think Chuck was there. I think Chuck and I were the only two from the county that was there, but that was discussed. You might look into that farther. There may be some reimbursement from the forestry or from somebody for the fire, mm-hmm. putting the dozer out there. Basically, Harlan called me this morning with a thank you from just the residents out there, he said, because they didn't think they could have got it contained without the quick response of our equipment there on spot and kept it from burning. He said he thought Cedar Creek would have been burned completely off.
Conditions were
terrible,
horrid.
It was the property adjacent to Lyle Rowland's place.
No, it was.
Yeah. So Lyle was out there. That's why he didn't come to the Republican meeting on Friday, because he was still cleaning up the mess from his property.
So anyway,
are you saying should we go ahead and establish agreements with the
just wondering
fire departments and
other jurisdictions I've worked for before? Basically, they just open up a dialogue that says this is who we are and this is all the resources we have, and in the event of extreme emergencies, we can cut through all the red tape by having said we agree to work with each other, and then we'll work out the logistics or the money afterwards. But it's okay case by case, because it doesn't appear that we have a heck of a lot of these. We've had maybe three or four since I've been here, the water tower being one of them. So I've seen it work both ways.
Well, if you've got a sample, we'll look at it, but I don't know how you would write an intergovernmental open-ended agreement like that without some sort of specifics. Attorney Bob's going to say...
Yeah, I think what you'd have to go back to, Jim, is what it said in the agreement that I was talking about, that they were talking with, they had every agency there, I think Western and Central and the Commission and Ambulance District, and everybody was at this meeting, and they were talking about shared services during an emergency time. Mm-hmm. I think one of the examples was the fire with the tanker on 65, that gas tanker that, mm-hmm. that blew up,
right.
got on fire, mm-hmm. and everybody that responded to that emergency situation. And it fell under the Homeland Security type deal that we've...
But an agreement that was approved by, it could be open.
Right.
Approved by the commission.
Yeah.
Then you'd have an agreement in writing. I don't know. I'm not the legal guy, but of course.
Well, just investigate.
Go talk to Mr. Paulson about it, because he's the one who does our intergovernmental agreements.
Boston Bob.
Boston Bob.
Boston Bob. Is that a new name we've given him?
It is. Well, Kirbyville.
Kirbyville open session we had, they called him Boston Bob.
So. Oh, I missed that.
I was wondering if we had any updates on the MoDOT barn yet.
We're supposed to close in January is all I've heard.
Okay. That's an update to me.
But I know Nikki's been talking to him, and Nikki and Bob have been talking. I guess they're supposed to give us an update.
They received our $10,000
whatever.
Down
I think
payment.
What I think there is paperwork. Bob and Nikki are talking about the details, and they're going to come back to the commission. Because I had asked that question last week, is where do we stand on it? I think they're working on it.
The reason I ask, it would be really helpful from a snowstorm fighting perspective if we could store 25 to 50 tons of salt there, which in previous times when they occupied that property, we were allowed to do that anyways. And so I was wondering if there's...
When do you need that in answer?
Prior to the next snowstorm.
why don't you call...
You can put a date on the calendar.
Why don't you call MoDOT and see if there's any complications with insurance or liability or anything like that that we can go ahead and store.
Do you know the lady that...
Connie Wilson is the one who's in charge of the contract that we've been talking with.
Okay, yep. I think she's property management for MoDOT.
You can always work through Nikki if you need to because
okay. She's you're all right with me seeking that?
You guys?
Yeah.
Yes. Now, later, it doesn't matter. So.
Okay. We have four new road petitions in our file at the shop across the way and wanted to verify that you...
Boston Bob's here. Watch out.
I wanted to hear what
Will
was going to be referred to.
Boston Bob, he's going to talk about intergovernmental agreements with you later on.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
No, we were just talking about you behind your back, but now you're here, so it's not as funny.
So what we've been telling the people is that we're waiting to go through the budget process this year prior to bringing these forward to the commission. Is that a correct statement?
On what?
Road petitions. We have four in the file that are in the process of being reviewed and videotapes done. And what I'm telling you is that's what we have been telling them, and we'll continue to do so as they come in until we're done with
your
budgetary
budget.
Process.
Yeah, as your budget reflects.
One of the two-hour workshops last week at MACTO was in regards to counties taking roads in, and it was really interesting to sit there with my peers that work statewide and talk about criteria, how and when and why counties take in various amounts of roads, what condition they have to be in, and I'd like to say we're on the more customer-friendly side than on the other side. There are some where they absolutely will not take them in unless they meet not only the right-of-way concerns and geometry and physical measurements, but also the condition. The roads have to be in a very, very nice condition, practically built, and the counties have no expenditures up front to take care of those. So that's one extreme, and we're sort of on the more lenient side of things, so I just wanted to report that to you that I think we're user friendly in those regards. Several weeks ago, I came forward with an issue that we're having with storing or disposing of wood. We still have wood on hand from the ice storm that we had. In a lot of places, when we work in developing new roads, building new roads, and or when we had the storms, we were able to burn wood on site, and or if it was cut up, people would pick it up off of the road. But that doesn't work in all of the cases all of the time. So we have a pile of wood at the Hilda shop that's about as big as this room. And the employees would like to know if they could take that home for their personal use, not for resale, but for their personal use. Also discussed has been make it available to people that may be elderly or disabled that don't have the ability to get wood the old-fashioned way, going to the forest and cut it down themselves. Or do we And did we also open it up to the general public? So those were some things that were talked about in Shop Talk. Our need is to create space so that we can pile up more wood. So I wonder if you have any thoughts on the wood debris that's piling up. And
it's actually firewood.
Yeah.
It's cutting the firewood length and all that? Or?
Most of it is, yes. It's not, none of it's split, but it is.
Well, we don't want to get in the business.
It's in manageable pieces right now.
Is it both barns?
Just at the Hilda side.
I think it should be first come, first served, but no more than one truckload, and just get rid of it that way. What do you think, guys?
I was trying to remember, as a member of the OCAC board, whether there's been requests for, you know, free wood,
right,
for people that are in need. And I don't remember anything, but I wouldn't be surprised if they would be a vehicle to get rid of, you know, find a home for it.
Right.
Maybe a press release is in order, or maybe that's...
Do you have that much?
Let's
shy away from that.
No, let's talk about this. Let's think about it this week and bring it up next week in his meeting. Because there's a lot of things that we can get into here. There's people, like you said, there's people out there that need it that aren't able to cut it. But there's also, you know, I don't know how you disperse a product like that without some kind of a, and there's another thing you can do. You put the stinking stuff out for bid and have somebody come in, and then it becomes a revenue source for the county.
Yeah, it'd sell, I'm sure.
If we open it up, I'm fearful that it might turn into a babysitting project, because some people would want to pick up multiple loads and sell it themselves.
But the best thing, if they bought it, then we are out of the...
I'm talking about bidding, buying.
Yeah, no, I mean, if they just bought the whole, if someone came out and just did a bid on the whole pile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just put it out. I don't know, you know, that's not the way I want to do it, but I don't know of any other way to do it to where it doesn't become a liability to the county. I mean, somebody can come out there and get a load or two and, you know, overload an old truck, or, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen. But if we just put it out as a commodity to the county, it's in our easement, and I've always thought that those shops should have been probably operated with a wood furnace that set off away from the building, and they would be a way to heat those shops without any expenditure of propane or.
And maybe that's still a consideration to think about, a concern. You say away from the shop. I agree with that because of the things we store inside that building. Mm-hmm. I mean,
but they've got those now that they've built up. You know that you, I mean they can. I know one guy's got the thing setting farther from here to the outside of the building from his house and garage and stuff, and he just goes out there. He's got a big pile of wood all around it, and he throws it in there, but it goes through the water system, heats the hot water, heats everything. And
that's what I've got. They're dandy.
Yeah.
Cost about $6,000, I think, for the furnace.
But I bet you there's $6,000 worth of wood out there.
Yeah.
Or more. And I've always wondered why it wasn't a resource that because we pick it up, and we got the manpower.
We cut
it
up.
The cost in it and everything.
Even if we go out to bid right now to clear our pad, that, unless that's the procedure we choose to use from here on out, it's a long-term problem. Just like before we had all these dirt agreements, we stored 1,000 tons of dirt in a yard, and now we have the ability to haul it to a facility or a residence that's close, which is convenient for the people that need it, and it's convenient for us.
Yeah.
So the same thing is an issue with the wood that we're looking. I'm looking for a long term fix. So I'll bring it up next week, and
give us a little.
I will look into pricing the wood burning stoves also, and
Those are those outside wood-burning furnaces. I don't know, there's several different brands of them. But you'll need one with a, one thing you'll have to specify, you'll need one with a big door on
big
it.
Big opening, yeah.
Big opening, so they can just throw it in there.
Right.
That's the way yours is.
I put stumps in it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. They're dandy.
And both shops where it's not a fire hazard, I mean, for it to be there, I can't see why we have to spend so much money on. I think when we look at our propane, we reviewed it the other day, that there was an increase, and you don't have to worry about the cost of all that stuff.
I'll see what we've been spending on propane, too.
Yeah.
Got 4 minutes left before our next meeting. Make it
no
good.
Pressure.
Make it count.
I have several weeks ago, I talked about upgrading our fuel pumps with several different computerized programs. It would be a card system. I have two companies working on getting together some details for me. The last request that you had was let us know what it costs and what's the savings, and that's what the part we're working on right now is the savings. So I'm still working on that. I want to talk about tin horns real quick. Typically, when we've taken in a new road in the past, it's my understanding and most of the guys that attend Shop Talk that the county has supplied the tin horns for each residential driveway. On Parksley, in the minutes, it was stated that the residents would purchase all of the tin horns for that particular petitioned road. So my question is, there seems to be some disparity or confusion on what is our procedure when roads are taking in as far as tin horns go. So maybe give some thought to setting up something that we could be consistent in as we move forward in taking roads in. They're about average about $220 per resident cost, 10 residents. You know, that's a substantial amount of money. So maybe I'll bring that up next time, too, because we're running out of time, is do we want to supply tin horns for each road that we take in, or do we ask the resident to pay the $220 on average, which for some residents that we have found out may be difficult for them to come up with that $220.
Okay. We've been pretty consistent, I think.
We have, but other than this Parksley one.
Unless there's something special.
And I don't remember, and the minutes didn't reflect as to why that decision was made that way. Okay. 911. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
You done?
That's it.
All right.
So I'm having an upcoming surgery. Next time I see each of you individually, we'll talk about it individually.
Excellent.
Thank you.
You don't look like you need it.
Yeah, today.
Yep.
Thank you much.
Thank you. See you, Frank. Welcome, Tammy.
Hello.
How's 911?
We're good. Just wanted to fill you in on kind of the daily operations lately. The phone system, of course, is a never-ending system. Just as of today, you know, we had to change the time for the time change and everything. But those are all simple things, and the phone bill and the phones and when they go out. We haven't had a whole lot of that lately. Most of the time it's from storms, so we haven't had a whole lot of that lately. The service orders that we do on a daily basis, that's usually about, well, several hundred, and we look at them every day, and that's not changed at all. A lot of good has come out of those when somebody is using an incorrect phone or address. We can correct that. Also, if they're using one that is not on the GIS system yet, we've been able to send GPS personnel out there and map that for us. And so that's really been a good part of our mapping project that's going on right now. A big part of Judy's day is the mapping project that she's been working on. microstation that we've used since the early 90s when 911 came about is now just totally obsolete. They're not taking care of that software or anything anymore. So what she's doing is she's going down every road and taking a look at every house individually, and every address that we've already assigned on that microstation, and she's transferring it over to the ArcView system. And if there's any difference in that, or if there's a structure that we're seeing on the ARC system and then it's not addressed on the microstation system, we make maps and send them out and to get GPS points. And so it's really been, it's been a huge project, but it's really been a beneficial project for 911, because then in turn the dispatchers see it. And so that's really been helpful and a really big job. But she's about halfway done. She started with the western side of the county, so that's really a great thing to be able to look at the old map and see that she's really gotten that far.
How far along is she then?
She's about halfway done.
Okay.
She started this in about May.
Okay.
And
so spring next year?
I don't think it'll take that long. Okay. I think, well, maybe in the first couple months of the year, depending.
Right.
We have a lot of walk-in traffic around tax time. So, and a lot of people calling to make sure what they're paying for their taxes and if they've got the right address connected with it and things. So that may slow down the process a little bit, but it shouldn't be too bad at all.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's really been a great thing. And the whole process of sending somebody out to take the GPS personnel is the person from the IS department that mm-hmm. we use. And currently it's Tanya, and we make her maps and send her out on those, and she takes the points or drives a new road or, you know, that type of thing to get it into the system. So she and Judy have been working very closely on that. One really great thing is, off that subject, is what we call CLEX, Competitive Local Exchange Carriers. Mm-hmm. It's a LEC is like CenturyLink. That's our primary mm-hmm. income for 911. And then it's really becoming a big deal for these competitive local exchange carriers. I was looking at the most recent printout that Rick has given me of our budget, and we're at 187% of what my estimate was, because so many more of them are recognizing the fact that they need to pay for 911 service that they're offering to mm-hmm. their customers. And we've currently got 17 companies that are paying us. So it's really, really been a great thing and a really good increase.
When you say 170% in the revenue side, we're receiving more than we anticipated.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. We're at 187% as of today
in revenues of what
I had anticipated getting.
Right.
So
that's good.
That's really been a great mm-hmm. thing since the revenues from CenturyLink have gone down because of people dropping their landline phones.
Right.
So this is a really great way of catching up a little bit on that. So
that's good.
It's been very helpful. And, of course, our interest is down because everybody's interest is down. So that revenue has not gotten up to where I expected it to be. But that's pretty much it. I mean, we do the same. A lot of what we do is the same thing every day. But
the biggest thing is the phone outages. I know you're the lead on that, and really so many times it's not even in your control. It's all
right.
Our provider, but I think those have stabilized pretty well, haven't they? It seems like.
They really have. I haven't noticed, and they're very quick to get on it, especially since they consider us preferred customers. They're really pretty quick to get on it. The work orders, on the other hand, if somebody wants something changed or an extension transferred to a different desk or people are playing mm-hmm. musical desks. That takes a little while because that's just has to be worked into a schedule. But we're still on a preferred Good. Customer timeline, and some of those get... But no, the majority of the outages are storm-related, mm-hmm. and so there hasn't been a whole lot of that. What we are having right now is fax line issues, poor line conditions, so okay. they're looking into that for me. Because
okay.
I know a lot of offices have been having that lately.
Right.
So...
I would get to something that didn't, and I'm just looking to her for information who to contact. Brenda Neal's barn burned over there, Brenda and Danny's barn, and they couldn't even get out on their cell phones. And I was just wondering if who the connections are for the repeaters or whatever that we need to get on.
For cell phone?
Yeah, for towers.
That's really a Nikki and a Nikki's been working with Verizon on that.
Okay, I just wondered if she might have some information about.
It's a Verizon choice. It's a Verizon deal.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's really a Nikki where she's talking to Verizon. They even did a site, they did a site map test and all that too.
Yeah, there's dead spots all over the county mm-hmm. now that we didn't have before when we were on. Other.
The Altel, it's that 3G move that they're doing. They've messed up some things.
Hopefully, but I didn't know. Hopefully okay. a lot of that will be taken care of during when they do these site studies. They will also they'll rent space on a tower. Some of the companies have rented space on other people's towers. So
I hope we can get that mess straightened out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's all I had.
One thought came to mind as you're talking is mm-hmm. on landlines. Have you noticed? I'm just wondering if maybe we've peaked as far as people going off of landlines. I mean, cell phones have been pushing the business for a long time, and I know there's lots of people, thought about it myself, mm-hmm. that have done away with their landlines. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if maybe... that may be leveling off as far as people doing away with their landlines.
This year had dropped, the beginning of the year had dropped quite a bit from years past, but I've noticed probably the last 6 months that it hasn't changed a whole lot in the month-to-month revenues. So maybe this is a time frame where they don't, maybe the first of the year is... kind of a reassessment of people's bills and things like that. I don't know exactly that, but they do audit the lines every so often from CenturyLink, so that may be something that...
be nice if that was the case.
Yeah.
Where revenues wouldn't...
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Good by me.
All right. All right.
Thanks for coming.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Should we table executive session till 1 o'clock
in case we hear from him?
From personnel?
Sure.
What do you think?
We just haven't heard. It's almost noon, so.
Okay.
That's fine.
I'll make a motion to table our executive session until 1 o'clock.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Recess?
Recess, yes. Thank you.
We're only coming back at 1 o'clock if we hear from the individual.
That's all we're